Well, good to have you here in church. I got back on late Monday night, and Judy was back from her trip on Saturday. And so we're different parts of the world, but we all had a good time and enjoy it. And today we have a very special guest, Jennifer Mitchell. And she's a pastor down in Stony Plain, Alberta. And she's part of our cohort. We have a cohort of ministers that gather together. And I'm not sure how she got caught in with us because she's the only girl. But she can handle her own, no problem at all. So that's how we got to know her and hear a little bit of her story. I said, man, I got to hear the rest of the story. We said, what better way than to invite her here and let everybody here also hear her story. And so could you welcome Jennifer as she comes today to share her story?
Thank you. It is an absolute honor to be here at Bethel Family Worship Center. It's amazing. It's my first time in St. Paul. It's a beautiful place. It's quiet and the drive is so nice. And so I came a little early this morning. I was driving around town just praying, feeling the atmosphere. You guys, as I drove into the parking lot, I just want to say you're blessed to be here, driving here. I could just feel the presence, the glory, just such a peace in this place. So thank you so much for having me, Pastor Dwayne, and it's just been an honor. Amen? It's been a blessing to know our pastors, your pastors Dwayne and Chris, and it's just, I'm the only girl in there, but it's been a blessing because I learned so much about farming. And I've even driven in a combine before. And, just going places and hearing about hunting and different things that people are doing. I shot my first deer 2 years ago, And for Christmas, my husband bought me a bow. So I am going to go bow hunting this year. And so it's amazing. I always joke and I said I used to hold guns for different things and now I am either holding it for Jesus, bringing people from the enemy's camp into the kingdom of God, or shooting some animals for food, My kids are like, oh, they're so cute. I'm like, that's meat in my stomach. That's what I see, okay? And so it's been great to be here, just an honor. So I just want to pray. Father, we thank you this morning. I thank you for every soul, every person who is in this place. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you and we say, come and move. May you touch every heart. May you touch every soul. King of glory, I pray that your spirit will reveal himself to each person today. And as I share my testimony, that the glory of your kingdom will be revealed and hope will be released to each that hear me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so excited. And normally most people, when they meet me, they're like, oh, why are you always at a high? Like, I'm always excited. Everything I do is with excitement and exuberation. But I've also realized that life is short. And the world gives us a lot of stuff. And we're busy. We're busy people. First Nations, Canada, U.S., all these places are very busy. Our lives are caught up in the busyness of doing a rotation of routines. And I find that, unfortunately, I'll just give you a warning. I don't mince my words. I speak as is. I say things the way I see them, as long as it's the truth. Because the Bible says the truth shall set you free. Amen? And I find that I've traveled, gone places, a lead pastor in my church. My husband is a firefighter, captain in the city of Edmonton. We have two kids. Just absolutely amazing. But even us, we tend to get caught up in that busyness of life. And so I have learned not to take anything too seriously. And you have to stop and you have to enjoy life. You have to stop and be intentional. Unfortunately, we are intentional about everything else except the things of God. We're intentional about our jobs. We're intentional about maybe some people, our families. We're intentional about our businesses. We know what we need to do and what time and at what time so we can reap the results or the fruit of what we do. But we don't do that with God. We don't do that in church. We expect church to run and God to be there, ever loving, always gracious. And yes, he is. But I want to share today my story. And as I share, you will come to realize that freedom has a price. Amen? Freedom has a price. And to be free, you got to do something. And we are always caught up in different things in life, in perspective, and when cycles of maybe even depression, anxiety, and busyness. And for some of us, we were caught up in the bush, in the middle of a war, in a country in East Africa, Uganda, where there was war for over 30 years, a generation in a civil war. My generation in my country were born in the war. The war kept on. Now let me paint a picture for you guys. There is no schools. There is no hospitals. There is no roads. You live in a village. You don't go to town because there is no town close enough to go to for anything. We don't have big stores like here to go buy things from. Everybody survives on what they would grow in their gardens. And we would go in the gardens and plant stuff there and get out at around in the evening at around 5 p.m. You start to journey your way to what you would call a center, a very, very small center. That would be a town in Uganda. And we would trek there. Why? Because in the villages at that time, at the age of nine, when I was nine, in the villages, the rebels would come and they would capture the children. All the kids are in Sunday school, right? They would capture the children and they would kill the fathers and sometimes mothers. They wanted to wipe out a generation of fathers. I want to tell you something today. Even though that happened a couple years ago, up to now, the devil, the enemy, is in the business of wiping out families, starting with fathers. It was just Father's Day. And we celebrated that, right? Last Sunday. And we ought to celebrate fathers because when you wipe out a generation of fathers, what happens? We have a generation of orphans. And people who don't know their identity, who don't know what they've been called, no men to speak into their lives. Amen? And so that was happening everywhere. So we had children who were soldiers, children who were captured. It's a mix-up. You have no identity. And when we came out of the bush, so many of those kids were just struggling children. Struggling. Struggling in confidence, struggling in identity, struggling, you don't know who you are, contemplating suicide, left, right, center, administered in First Nations communities and the First Peoples, so many different places. I see a lot of the same things in those places, just as I saw in my village in Africa, and it breaks my heart. But God is a good God, and he has a message of hope. Amen. And I'm here to encourage you today. But before we step into all of that, I want to go a little bit deeper into my story. And normally, when I go different places, I like to try and finish the story because I don't finish the story. I get caught up. Obviously, God has done something good. Because I went from being a child soldier at the age of nine, I was in the bush with the rebels for over a year. I did not even know that it had been that long. Because in the beginning, I wanted to escape. I wanted to escape. It was great. I want to escape. And then they started shooting the kids who escaped. So fear gripped my heart. Do you know when you want to move forward and you want to do something, the enemy will bring something to stop you. He will bring a distraction. You want to start the journey of freedom. Every time you want to start that journey, the enemy will come in. I was just listening to something online the other day, and this person said, I started to pray for a breakthrough. Every time you start to do that, the enemy will bring either a dream or something will happen to deter you from continuing to pursue God so you can find your freedom. Amen? At the age of 9, I wanted to escape. Months, weeks, still wanting to escape. And slowly, slowly, after some time, I started to lose hope. Because what happened? A few things. Number one, they would use machetes to either cut off your lips or your tongue if you're caught talking, or your ears, the one listening. I remember in 2012, there is a video that circulated all through news everywhere. We were on the news, and the guy from CTV, I think it was CTV, and he was saying, is it really true? This is a news reporter asking, is it really true that they actually cut off the lips? But he was asking me like he didn't believe it. And I looked at him and I said, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe because you weren't there. It's so far-fetched from your mindset that you won't understand. Amen? And so I was telling the story, and he's just sitting there in this almost disbelief of what the possibilities could happen. Now, I know that I went in through an actual war zone, but the things that happen in the spiritual realm when you go through war is the same. If you're going through a battle and a struggle, you are in a war of your own. Whatever kind of war that you are in and struggling and going, addiction can be your own war and battle. Your children can be your own war and battle. Maybe anxiety, depression can be. And for me, it was a literally actual war in a war zone where you're battling mental stuff. There is a God. Because I don't understand how a 9-year-old, my son is 10 now, and he plays hockey, plays high-level hockey, plays soccer. Our lives revolves around him. My husband is a firefighter. I'm a lead pastor in my church, and I look at my son's schedule before I do anything. This is unbelievable. See that business I was talking about earlier on? But he's 10 now, and I look at him, and I say, would you survive? I look at him and what he can do right now at the age of 10, and I imagine myself back when I was 9, and I turn to the heavens, like the Bible says in Psalms 121, where does my help come from? Where does it come from? My help only comes from him. Only him. So if you don't understand something and you can't comprehend it, you can just turn to the Father and allow him to do what he needs to do in your life. Amen? And so at this time, and we're walking, and I was tall enough, grew fast. I knew a little bit of English because we were going to a good school in Uganda. And so I want to say, the Bible says that you're gifting. You know, when the Lord has given you some gifts and blessing, use them because they'll open doors for you. Amen? I don't know how people here in church, I always telling people, serve the Lord. He's given you your gift for a reason. Every gift that you have, God can use it for his glory and for your benefit. Amen? And so I saw the Lord use little gifts, just like even being a good leader. I spoke up. I wasn't afraid of anybody. They saw the leadership quality in me, and they gave me to oversee a bunch of girls. What did it do for me? It gave me power, number one. It also kept me safe because now I was a leader. They couldn't kill me, so I got protection. But sometimes the enemy gives you false protection. He says, you are covered. You are protected. Now nobody can touch you. The enemy started to tell me, you don't need to escape anymore. You are now a leader. After some time, I'm assuming maybe 8 months-ish because I lost track of time. at this time, I don't even know what when is what. Because, and I didn't even want to escape anymore because I tried to escape a couple of times and it didn't work. We would go from village to village. They would burn all the houses, not the ones like here. My husband always says it takes them about 3 to 5 minutes to get to a place. And he says, something happened, call the fire station first and then call 911 for the other guys, right? Because we will show up first before. But the reality is, it's not that kind of a house burning. This is a small grass hut that is connected to another in an area that has hundreds of grass huts. Because what was happening at that time is the town, nothing was safe. The rebels were everywhere. And so we were in IDP camps, what is what we call them. You would have hundreds and thousands of people. And you would have a layer of the army surrounding that territory. And then they would move out, you know, a few kilometers. And then they would surround it again to protect the people. No food, hospitals, nothing. UN, UNICEF will come. They won't even land the plane. They would drop the food from the air and the people would fight and struggle and just fight for the food. Here, there's food everywhere. Even when you don't work, you can get food somewhere. What that caused, it gave a mentality, everyone for themselves. And it's a very bad mentality. Because now all you live for is for yourself. And I thought that was funny until I came to Canada. And I'm like, man, these guys, everybody's for themselves. It's my family, it's my house, it's what I do. I don't have time to do anything for anyone else. I pray the Lord breaks this kind of cultures from us. Because we are meant for connection. We're meant for fellowship. We're meant to work together. Amen? We are meant to work together. We are built for community. We are built to be strong. And as we work with one another, we are stronger that way. But all these things kept percolating in my mind. It's adding one by one. Every time I share something, just add that big block right on there. So now I am for myself and nobody else. I can't trust anybody. So I don't trust anyone. I think everybody's out to get me. And now I'm a leader. What did it do? It gave me pride because I started to think I'm untouchable. And pride is dangerous because the moment I became a leader, I became arrogant and I started to bully other kids and make sure I didn't even want to go because now I won't die. The reason why I wanted to escape is because I wanted to protect my life, to save my life. Now that I know I'm not going to die, I didn't even want to escape anymore. And the rebels would come to me because I understood a few words in English and they would listen over the radio and they would say, tell us what is happening. Tell us. And because of that, my life was protected. So I would explain what the news was saying. They would listen through these big radios. You know, we call them radio calls and stuff like that. Not this, you know, fancy stuff. This is old gadgets that can pick up communication from anywhere, you know. And they would listen in on what the government is saying or any kind of news that's happening. And I would interpret what they were saying. And that kept me. And what ended up happening is girls, young girls of my age were getting raped. And getting pregnant. And giving birth to children who have HIV AIDS because all the commanders and the rebels are sick, sleeping with girls everywhere they go. And I look at this country and I look at where we are right now, and sometimes I turn to my husband and I tell him, I say, Cameron, this is no different because our children are having sex everywhere, all over the place. It doesn't even matter. At least there, they're being forced. Here, nobody's been forcing them. They don't listen to the parents because there is a right and this idea that nobody can tell me anything. And if we continue as a community that nobody can tell you anything, then we're headed for doom. Amen? We get passionate about it because I've seen the effects of it. And so now we have a fatherless generation. I grew up in a fatherless generation where there is nothing, no privilege. And then because of fear, you have to fight for everything that you have. And now I watch and I say, how is it possible that God saved me and protected me in that space? Because he had a plan for my life. Did he not have a plan for other people's life? Yes, he did. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Amen? Most people say, well, where is God? I know where God is. Sitting in heaven on his throne. And he is still God. When bad things happen to us, we don't question the sovereignty of God. But when bad things happen to us, we can go through it and trust that God is going to get us through it. We don't dodge it, but we go through it. The only way out is through. Amen? And I know that there might be people struggling today, and maybe you're going through something, and I'm really, really glad that you're here because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you and he wants to minister to you. Because I came to a place where I was so discouraged in the bush. I was a leader. I had a group of people under me. I had my own machine gun and I could take people out and I would come back, go for water, go get firewood, order people around. Like, you know, I was kind of untouchable until one day there was an open fire gunshot exchange with the rebels and the government army. We were all, most of the girls were tied up. And that day, a few girls were rescued in an helicopter. And I watched the helicopter fly up. And the girls, they looked at me. And everything shifted for me in that moment. Do you know sometimes you could be in a situation, you get so used to being in problems that you don't even see that there is a way out. Sometimes you get so used to being in your situation, you don't know better. You have never heard any other person's story. All you see is what is in front of you, and you feel like life is so bad until you get exposed to something else that makes you realize this situation, there is a solution and a way out. And that's what happened to me, because hope was restored unto me in a moment of a dire situation. As I watched these girls being, you know, taken, and I realized in my spirit, a deep sadness came over me, and I said, why not me? Why not me? So in a very, very dire situation, God can use the hardest, painful moment of your life. He can use the worst thing that the devil has done to you. That thing, maybe it's a loss of a child or something, or loss, whatever it is, he can use it. Because in my moment, God used that desperation to turn it into hope. The Bible says that even what the enemy meant for bad, he can turn it and use it for good. For who? For those who love him. Amen? For those who love him, he can use it for good. Because everything changed for me that day. I wasn't rescued. That some of us, you go through some situation and say, well, God's not there. I prayed and he didn't touch me and he didn't answer my prayers. It doesn't matter, because in the darkness, God is there. In your worst situation, in your worst moment, if you pay attention and you settle yourself enough, you will realize he is in the darkness, because God evolved from the darkness. In the beginning, it was all dark. And out of that darkness evolved God. Yet he is light. He is everything. The light that illuminates out of him is so immense that darkness can't contain it. This is the hope we're talking about. That in your most dire situation, in that shadow-casted deep darkness, God is actually in it. So you need to connect yourself to him, begin to find him, that he can evolve out of your darkness to become a light and to shed light to everything around you. Amen? That night, I always share this part. In the evening, we went and camped at a place. But unfortunately, where we had camped, it was a landmine field. So it's like what had happened during the day wasn't enough. And now we're here, and we started hearing and seeing people getting blown out as they're walking and camping, and you're like, whoa. So now you're afraid to move, to go anywhere, to shift position. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like all doors have been shut? You can't go in any direction. You don't know what to do. How many of you guys have been in that place? You don't know what to do. Mine was a landfill, but I believe that people in this right now, you're listening to the sound of my voice and you're saying, my life is over. This is the end of it for me. I have no direction to turn. If something doesn't happen today in this season, I'm done. That was me in that spot. And an idea came to me. I'm imagining, because remember, out of the sadness, there was a hope. And it's like all of a sudden, because I actually come from a Christian family. I come from a family of six. I'm the fifth child. And I remembered, you know, sometimes when the devil is busy turning your life and putting it in a whirlwind, you can forget God. You can forget who he is. You can forget that he's a good God, that he actually answers prayer. And not just answers, but he answers by fire. Amen? And so when you feel like there is no hope, what happens when there is no hope is because there is a separation between us and God. When I am too separated from God, I lose the hope. The further away I go from God, I don't remember that he's a good God. I don't remember that he can save me. Amen? And what do you know what separates us from God? Sin. When you're sinning, it separates you from God. I'll give you a scenario. So you have sin, and so it's making a gap between you and God. Now your senses are not there, but you have a problem. And you're asking God to solve this problem. You're praying. In the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you bless me and you give me this thing. But you have sin in your life, and the sin has separated, so the distance is quite far. And then when we pray to God, because there is sin in my life, I'm so distant from him, I then turn around and I blame God. I say he's a God who doesn't listen and he doesn't answer. Amen. I don't know where the idea came from that night. I just heard a voice tell me, Jennifer, crawl on your elbow. I come from a Christian family, prayer warriors. I used to dream dreams at the age of 5, 6, 7, and they would come true. And I would tell my grandmother, Grandma, I dreamt that a couple of days ago. Exactly the same thing happened. There is a deep prophetic root and a legacy of spiritual, you know, like the supernatural that runs within our family. When I was young, I would be going to the river, do something. I would tell my parents and say, we're going to meet this person on the road. I just tell them as it's a conversation. And then we actually meet them on the road. Why? Because I saw it before we left. It was nothing back there. This was before I was captured. I'm trying to paint a picture. Because every one of us, God has given you something. There is a gift within you. And some gifts are supernatural. Some are just spiritual gifts. Some are natural gifts. But I'm telling you, don't ignore the giftings that is inside of you. Amen? Don't ignore the feeling, the gut feeling that you have. Because sometimes people say, I don't hear God. I don't hear God. How do I hear God? Well, you know what? How about that feeling you had when you had that business meeting that saying you could not trust that person? Remember that feeling that you didn't sleep the whole night? That was God trying to speak to you. But sometimes we're waiting for a big voice calling out our name, just like God called out, Samuel, Samuel. Maybe sometimes God's not going to call you like he called Samuel, but God is going to give you a gut feeling. about a situation. Amen? And for me then, because my grandma had told me, when you dream, come and tell grandma. When you dream, come and tell me why. I had no idea what she was doing, but she would pray into my dreams. And every time I dream, she would pray. If the dream was bad, she would pray against the dream. If the dream was good, she would pray into it. And she had taught me and said, Jennifer, God is speaking to you. So if you dream, maybe God is saying something to you. Because it does happen, doesn't it? And I'm like, yes, grandma. That night, I remembered my grandma's voice. Because I heard a voice saying, crawl on your elbow. And I remembered grandma's voice and what she told me. And I started to crawl. The rebels were playing cards. There's a fire there. Some of the children were just, you know, like getting, food for them and all that stuff. Everybody, you know, it was just a sad day, but that's a normal day in the bush. And I started to crawl on my elbow. And when I got far away, I got up because our hands were tied. And I started to run. And I ran. And I ran. Knowing that you could be blown by a landmine, you could be shot. I am telling you, church, this morning, if you are in a situation that you know that if you stay there, there is no hope, you need to get out of that situation. You gotta get up and trust God that He's gonna see you through it. Amen? You gotta trust God because where you are, there is no hope. And that's what happened for me. I knew that I couldn't stay there. There's only death there. Some of us, we are caught up in addiction. I want to tell you today, there is nothing good that's going to come out of that pornography. There's nothing good that's going to come out of that drug addiction. There is nothing good coming out of that drink and alcohol. Nothing. Only death waits you there. So I speak to you this morning and say, get out and begin to walk. Even if it's not easy, begin to say, I can be saved. I can be free. I want to fight it. I am going to be better. I'm going to change my life for my children. I'm going to change my life for the people around me. I'm going to get my marriage back. I'm going to get it back. The enemy wants to steal it by saying that she doesn't love you. And they did. How about forgiveness? God wants to restore you. He wants to change your life. And I ran. And I ran. And as I started to run, I remember I was praying and I said, God, I remembered my Sunday school teachers. You know, it's amazing to see the kids. I remember that there is a God and He answers and He's a good God. I said, God, protect me and save me. You know what happened? Some of the girls had seen me running and they did exactly the same thing. I had no idea. Don't underestimate what you do because people are watching. As leaders, we are held on a higher ground. Pray, have a lifestyle of prayer. Watch your character, build character. Don't wait for the senior pastor to tell you and say, you know, John, there's that thing in your life, it's going to catch up with you, but you're the head usher in the church, or maybe you're the women's leader, women's pastor even. Live a lifestyle. Get comfortable practicing some spiritual discipline because people are watching. And some people say, I don't care. But you know what? Don't do it for the ones who care. Do it for your children. Do it for the ones you love because they're watching you and they're learning from you. I live a lifestyle of prayer. I have embraced it within my very being every day. It doesn't matter where I am, no matter where I go, whether I'm on vacation. Doesn't matter. Even one time in Vegas, we ended up there by accident with our kids. They were younger because we were tenting. I was just telling these guys we love tenting. We go around tent everywhere. My husband's like, oh, I'm getting too old for this tent, you know. We went everywhere, but we could not find anywhere to tent. It was too hot. You remember that heat wave that happened a couple years ago that broke the record? We were on our way to the Grand Canyon tenting. And the heat wave came, and we started driving, and we couldn't find the next town. There's no hotels. We drove to the next day. Guess where we could find an hotel? Vegas. So we were driving to Vegas. We're like, we need an hotel with air conditioning. Something, right? That is not a tent. But what am I trying to say? Even in Vegas, I would wake up at 3 a.m. A city that is so filled with worldly stuff. And one of the most powerful dreams, prophetic dreams that I had was in Vegas. I remember one time I looked at my husband and said, are you ready to be on the council of the church? Because the Lord told me that in Vegas, that they're going to ask your husband to be on the council of the church. On the way back, I asked him. We came back, landed 2 days. He got a call from the senior pastor. But that's coming because I built a lifestyle of prayer. Why have I built this lifestyle of prayer? Number one, because you need to pray, because the devil will always try to take you back to where you've been. Amen? If you've escaped something, if something has happened in your life and the Lord has brought you out, that enemy will always try to take you back. He will try to bring it and to put it in your face so that to tell that you're nobody and you're always going to be that useless person who can never make it. And those are all lies. So you need to ground yourself. Amen. Number two, when things happen in our lives, it can carry to our children. Some of us say it doesn't matter, but you know what? You will live your life, you'll be gone. But there's something that we call a spiritual legacy. It goes into our children, and the enemy, it will go and it will go down. So I pray for my children, and I say the level of trauma, I contemplated killing myself so many times because I was so sad in my spirit. I had seen so many atrocities, and my spirit, I couldn't get happy. At one point, I was so filled with spirits of different kinds inside of me. My ambience even had changed. I was telling a friend of mine just recently, we were in Quebec, and I told them and I said, you know what? I couldn't sleep. To close my eyes in the middle of the night, I couldn't. And I would just stay awake because every time I closed my eyes, I would have nightmares. But guess where I slept? Church. Every time I went to church, I would sleep. Nobody told me that God provides peace, that God is a God who gives hope. But I just went to church, and every time I was there, while they were praying, doing whatever they were doing, and I would close my eyes, no nightmares. So guess where I started sleeping? Church. And then, because I was always in church, what was happening? Prayers, and you know these prayer warriors, and they're doing all this stuff, and I'm just there. And in the presence of prayer, in that atmosphere, all of this thing, it started to birth something on the inside of me. It started to birth something. As the women were praying, the Lord was removing things. He was removing the pain. I started to feel like, you know what? There is a purpose for my life. If God can give me peace, nobody told me God is that good. I just knew that He is good. Nobody had to tell me that the peace of the Lord actually surpasses all understanding. I just knew it because I experienced it. Outside of church, I would be so miserable. I started sleeping in church, staying in church, helping in church, serving in church. But I want to share this. That night when I crawled on my elbow, I ran for a while and I heard some gunshots. And I knew that they had realized that I had escaped. And so I started running even faster. And then I heard voices. And now the girls, I'm running. The girls are running, following me. Other people are following them. What I didn't tell you because of time is that this was not the first time I tried to escape. I had already tried to take a couple girls with me at an earlier time and failed. And my name had gone across everywhere. They were saying, oh yeah, you know when you get a bad name. And so this time the word was, if you are caught, they're not even going to shoot you. They were just going to use machetes because they didn't want to waste bullets. So this time, getting caught, it's life and death. The first time when I tried to lead these girls to escape is something that the Lord had to deal with me for years. Because when we got caught, they took my gun, and I told the commandant, because one of the girls said, it's not my fault, they're the ones, you know, she's the one trying to do this, and she's the one trying to make everybody escape. I turned to her and I told her, if I still had my gun in my hand, I would shoot you. The army commander turned and shot the girl. Your words are so powerful. Life and death is in the tongue. And sometimes as Christians, I meet a lot of Christians who are always complaining, but they put themselves in that situation. I go and pray, and then I turn around and say, well, I don't even know if this is going to happen. You know what? I've been praying for a long time. Dude, you just undid everything you just said in prayer. Your words. And then you look and you say, oh, nothing is ever going to happen here. My family hates me. They don't like me. Do you know what? Your family doesn't hate you. The devil is just acting on your very words. So what did I learn? Change how you speak about yourself, about other people. If you speak only what you want, there is a guy named Nick Castellano, and we've had him a couple of times in our church, and he wrote this book, Awakened Sleeper. But he said, and you're right. Whatever you speak about yourself, you're right. If you say nobody cares about me, guess what? Nobody will care about you because you are the creator. We are co-laborers with Christ. Whatsoever we speak has power and authority. Amen? And so that night, I ran and I ran. I'm remembering everything. I'm remembering how this girl was shot through my words. I'm remembering the landmines, my friends who were killed. I'm thinking, if I escape, what will I tell their parents? I'm remembering all of that. I'm running, and we came, and I went inside this cave, and the girls came in there, and the rebels came, and they shot, just gunshots, just going constant. All you can hear are the shells are falling and scattering, and the screaming inside the cave. It was almost 6 o'clock. And we heard a whistle. They would whistle and make a signal. We had been in the bush long enough to know their communications. The time saved us. In Africa, the sun sets at the same time. It rises at the same time. Thank God. It's not like here. In the summer, 10 p.m., it's still bright outside. What is that? You know, seasons and times and changes. But there, it was coming in the morning. The birds began to sing. The rebels retreated. We got out of that cave. We ran. We ran for days and days. We were running out of there. And then later, I read in the Bible that man shall not live by food, by bread alone. I'm like, yeah, that's true. You can go for days. Those who say they can't fast, you know what? You can. You can definitely survive a couple hours, a day or two without food and even without water. It is very, very possible. Now, I don't wish that situation on anybody, but you can do it. And we ran. And then the trackers of the rebels caught us. Listen to this as I finalize. They caught up with us, and we knew we had nowhere to go. And this is the moment that I give every credit to God for. Not that I didn't give him credit in the other times. The rebel truckers caught us. We took off our clothes. Thank God for dark skin. I always joke I'm married to a Canadian. I said, oh, Cameron, if this were you, they would see you from up that tree. You would not be alive today. Because of the color of your skin. So I thank God for the color of my skin, that I'm black. You know? And so we took off and we climbed this tree. And the rebels came and they the trackers, they tracked us forward. They tracked us in every direction. And they came back there because they're very good at what they do. I'm telling you guys, God can hide you in plain sight from the enemy's attempts. God can hide you in plain sight. And I feel like today, God wants to remove you from where you are and just put you, say, you're in plain sight, but you are covered. The enemy can no longer touch you because I am covering you. Because the rebels came and they were looking at us up on the tree as we are looking down. You don't want to blink. You don't want to move. You're hoping that nothing crawls on you. And they lingered there. They lingered. And I remember that time I said, God, hide me in the palms of you. Do you know, have you ever realized that when you're in those dire situations, that's when you remember the scriptures and you remember what God says and you realize, oh my goodness, you know. I remember praying things I didn't know were in the Bible. Later on, I'm now a pastor. I'm reading my Bible. I try to read my Bible cover to cover every year. I'm reading the Bible and I say, I prayed that. I didn't even know it was in the word of the Lord. But I prayed it. And because it was scripture, it is powerful. It's the living word of God. It worked. I said, hide me in the palms of your hands. And in my culture, we have a riddle. It says that when the hand of the one that keeps you is up, you are safe. But if they turn it down, you could fall, and when you fall a long ways, you might not survive. And I remember praying that river. I said, Lord, keep your hand up that I will remain in the palms of your hand. The rebels left. And while we were up on the tree, we saw a dirt road, just red dirt, just like the ones you would see in, where is that place? In the border of the U.S. there, Utah. You guys have been there? Utah, the dirt, like everything is just that red. That's the kind of, you know, the dirt that we have in Africa, in Uganda. And we saw that. And we got down and we ran. And a man came who was coming from town. Remember I was telling you in the beginning, everybody would travel to the town areas because the rebels don't go close to town centers. And then we're traveling back. They met us and they're like, they thought we were rebels. And we were rebels. Because the rebels would lay ambush for people and say, oh, help us, look, help us. The devil would do that. You know, sometimes you come and say, help, 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 but really it's not needing help. It was a trap. And so they didn't want to help us, and they said, we'd stay in this area, and if you are truly not rebels, we will come back. 2 days later, we stayed. Sometimes you just have to trust people. That people who have trust issues and they can never trust anybody. They can never tell anybody they're going through anything. You know, the man literally didn't even stop. He just said, if you're not the rebels or kids, stay here. We will send help. And we had to hold on to his word and believe that he's going to do what he's going to do. And sometimes in church, we got to do that. You got to trust people. I'm struggling with depression. And if you see that someone is struggling, don't be quiet until you see that something happen. We waited in that area, trusting God and trusting a man, a stranger we did not know. 2 days later, what do I see? A truck with a sticker on it with orange signs, World Vision. World Vision. Took us months to get out of that area because they would have to plan to move you from where you are. It takes a long time. You need army. You need like a convoy, you know. So you need like the different types of vehicles. And then so we would go from one place to the other, and it took us months to get back to our area. I wanted to kill myself so many times, but I went to church. I slept in church. I stayed in church. And in church, the Lord began to restore hope. He began to fill my spirit. He began to put life into my spirit. So what was taken away, He began to replace. He began to replace it slowly, slowly, time after time. Why? Because He had a purpose for my life. What I didn't tell you, the night that I crawled on my knees, when I heard that voice and I remembered my grandma, I told the voice, I said, if this is you, Lord, trying to speak to me like my grandma said, I ask you to rescue me and help me. And if you do, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And everywhere I go, I would tell people of your goodness, that you're a good God. Because there was no way we were going to be able to escape that kind of a life. And God did it. If He can do it for me, with all of that hate and anger, I used to be so angry. Angry at people, so mad at people. I contemplated hurting people. And the Lord did that for me. He gave me freedom. And He said, you can be free. And we went from there and we started a ministry called Freedom on Fire. Why? We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that through prayer, because I know prayer works, prayer saved my life. Prayer did some unbelievable, miraculous things in deep within my spirit that I know a human being can do. And so through our ministry, we started to rally people and say, you gotta have a lifestyle of prayer. So it's not from nowhere that I pray all the time, that I wake up without an alarm at 3 a.m. Because I know you can do more in prayer than you can do in the physical realm. Amen? You can pray. So we're going to do that as we end even today and say, Lord, we're going to lift our hands and we're going to pray to God. We're going to ask Him to come into our circumstances. We're going to ask Him to come and do the very thing that we want to do, and He's going to do it. Amen. He's going to help you. He's going to be there for you. The Bible says He's removed our sins so far away from us, as far as the east is from the west. So far.